Now, so if we look at what the Frankfurt School did, was simply bring in, they brought in psychology, merged Freud and Marx, and therefore was able to hide their agenda in the education system. Now, Marx's history was all about the killing of the father. Herbert Marcuse, who was a member of the Frankfurt School, in his book, Eros and Civilization, A Psychological Inquiry into Freud. Now, he's a Marxist, but he was not a traditional Marxist. He was a transformational Marxist. Notice it was transformational, outcome-based education, not traditional outcome. Traditional was learning facts, do right, don't do wrong. Transformational incorporates how do you feel, approach, pleasure, avoid pain. And he writes, the hatred against patriarchal suppression. In other words, the children hate the fathers repressing their carnal desires to approach pleasure and avoid pain. And then he says, a barrier to incest, because Freud considered all children sexually active. Freud's hero is Orpheus, who is a homosexual who made love to young boys. You can't have psychology without that structure. Because what Freud does is he has a father and a mother and children in his history, his historiology. But the children, the mother and the children are having an incestual relationship. In other words, there is no cannot, must not, thou shalt not. They're just doing what comes natural. He considered all children sexually active. They couldn't procreate, but they had all the urges and impulses. Well, the father sees this behavior, and of course he has this attitude, my wife, not your, you know, not your wife. And so therefore there are certain standards of behavior that are just to the husband and wife and not to the children and the mother. And he then refers to this as polymorphously perverse behavior. Now, Freud didn't believe that. He's just defining the father's structure. And so the father, in Freud's analysis of society, is the barrier to incest. So he writes, the hatred against patriarchal suppression, a barrier to incest. And then he says, desire for the sons to return to the mother culminates in the rebellion of the exiled sons. In other words, the father tells them not to behave this way. The father then drives the sons out because of their polymorphously perverse behavior. And like God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, like the king of France drove the directorate out of the sessions, well, then they come to consensus. This is psychology. Consensus is the husband, wife, and children all come to agreement on I feel and I think, and they come to oneness. There's no father's authority in consensus. Do you understand this? Now, in America, where was the father's authority? It was in the individual citizens. You're the father, you send a representative, you send a child to the store to buy your goods. It's your money. You give it to them, they go to the store, buy the goods for you. But if they go to the store and they get with the other kids and they spend your money some other way and they make a law that says, oh, by the way, they're now treated, they're respected as a father's authority. In other words, they're equal. See, if you go to equality, then you don't have the right to have representation, because representation means you're over somebody. They go to, like a father sending a son to represent. Remember in the scriptures, the son of the vineyard's father owned the vineyard, sent his son. The worker said, let's kill the son, and we can take over the vineyard. Well, the son was sent to represent the father. Well, you know, this sort of stupid, kill the son. What's the father going to do to you? But in the theory and practice, the thought and action of dialectic reasoning is you kill the father by simply not physically killing him like the traditional Marxists. You kill him in the thoughts of the children. So that's what the consensus process is. If you've ever been in a consensus meeting with sensuousness, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that's all you got. Not of the father. Because the father is conscience, conscience. This is right, that's not. See, if you come into those consensus meetings that are all engineered, well, how did you feel and what do you think, with a right, wrong language, you come in with a patriarchal language and a heresiarchal language, because heresy is change. You have the facilitator of change, right? The facilitator of heresy. Does this make sense now? And so now you come in and say, this is right and that's not. All of a sudden, you're hateful. See, you're negative. You're divisive. You're intolerant. You're prejudiced. You're maladjusted. You're the lower order thinker. Because in Bloom's taxonomy, he talks about higher order thinking and lower order thinking skills. Well, great on rocks, plants, and animals. We taxonomize so we can predetermine the outcome. We can guarantee the outcome. But he's talking about psychological. He's talking about the soul of your child, not eternal soul, because it's materialism. It's just cognition, knowledge, which comes from the environment, affection, your feelings in regard to it, and then psychomotor, how you respond to it. Stimulus response, that's all the world's got. And so the children, when they go to this affective domain, feelings, they resent the father's authority being cast out. And so they come to a consensus and they come back. And according to Freud, now you can read Eros and Civilization, A Psychological Inquiry into Freud by Herbert Marcuse. Halfway through, he starts explaining the real Freud. And his history is the children come back and not only kill the father, but they eat him. And the reason for that is because if you kill dad, there's a tombstone. There's some residue left over. There's a consequence. There's the conscience, you know, because, you know, the next generation sees the tombstone over there and say, who's that? Well, that's dad. Well, what happened to him? Well, we killed him. Well, why'd you kill him? Because he kept telling us what we could or couldn't do. Oh, wow, was he wicked? No. He loved us. He clothed us. He protected us. He fed us. Oh, now we have a guilty conscience. Conscience is right and wrong. Maybe it was wrong for us to kill the father. And Freud called that the neurosis of civilization. There's a problem in society. We can't get rid of this neurotic condition that we have. Neurosis is a result of being told to do something that you naturally wanted to do, being told you couldn't do it. And you're listening to your father's authority. Carl Rogers, in counseling, he says, before therapy, the client would say, what would my parents think? But during therapy, they began to say, what does it mean to me? And so he had to get rid of the patriarchal paradigm, in not only externally, but internally, in the child's thoughts. And he says, therefore, it's not enough to kill the father. You've got to eat him. You've got to take what is his. This is Brothers Karamazov. Or the father, this was an earlier writing of a Russian writer, but the Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky is famous reading. It's about the three sons that kill the father. And so this is Freud, all of psychology, all of it, 100 proof, folks, 100 proof, is to undo what Jesus did, 100 proof. There's no such thing as a Christian psychologist. Because Jesus came to redeem us from the Father's wrath, but to reconcile us to the Father. All of psychology is to kill the Father. 100 proof. It can't go any other way. What harmony is Christ with Belial? It's impossible. I hope you understand this. It's impossible to be a psychiatrist or a psychoanalyst and to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the only Christ you can worship is the Antichrist. Because you have to collectively kill and devour the Father. This is the quote here. Killing and devouring the Father and the establishment of the brother clan. In other words, now the collective, the consensus, the feeling. That means feeling of oneness. A famous counselor or writer, Irvin Yalom in California, in his book Theory and Practice in Group Psychotherapy, he sums it up. Freud noted that patricide, see, killing the father's authority, negating the father's authority, and incest, liberating the child's carnal nature, are part of man's deepest nature. And so when you chasing that child and that child reaches for that toy and defiance to you and turns around and kicks you, that's the little Karl Marx in your child. And the only purpose of psychology, of counseling, is to deliver that child from you and your patriarchal, this is right and that is not, agenda of neurosis on your child. You're repressing your child's carnal nature, all that's of the world. And you're causing alienation because your child is going to go out of your home, hold to your standards, this is right and that is not, in a world of diversity, and going to therefore suffer from the alienation he's experiencing from others, and then those who believe upon him, see, accept what you taught him is true, He's going to perpetrate upon society division, disharmony. And that, folks, is what Bloom's taxonomies were all about. How can we undo the effect of the traditional home upon society? Hegel, Marx, Freud all have one thing in common: the negation of the father's authority. No other purpose. That's all Satan did in the garden. And it wasn't enough to just physically kill Dad. You had to get rid of him in your brain, because that's the conscience. And of course, then that's where thinking, dialectic reasoning, because Eve looks at the tree, it's good for food, pleasing the eyes, desires to make one wise. She's leaning to her own understanding. Her understanding is only possible from approaching pleasure, avoiding pain, all that's of the world. And in that moment, she's godless. There is no father's authority. And you see that they're socialist after that. First, Eve is the first environmentalist. If you look at structure, she is in love with the environment. So you see, that's her pleasure. No longer pleasure in God. No longer pleasure in the Father. It's like giving your child a toy, and the child is not in love with the toy, and they hate you because you want to take the toy away and put it up. They hate you. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's not that you don't want your child to have the toy. It's that they have decided the toy is now more important than you. It's not that God doesn't want us to enjoy the pleasures he's given us in this world, but we're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You see the same correlation. It's the same spirit that's going on. This is in the church growth. Church growth, emergent church, all it's everywhere you go. Total quality management, school of work, Common Core, build off of Bloom's taxonomy, Pandora's box. Pandora's box is man is now God. We'll become like God. They become like us. God actually admits it. They become like us. But the thing is, we evaluate. We're made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God because you can evaluate. Plants and animals can't do that. They can't get a history book up and read it and evaluate the present from the past. They can't do that. It's just stimulus response. That's what all psychology has, is Pavlov's dog and Thorndike's chickens and Skinner's rats. And that's all you are. Oh, heard of human resource? I hope you got up this morning. If you believe in human resource, I hope you got up this morning going, man, I can't hardly wait to be manipulated. Did you do that? See, you're a liar. You're deceived, and you take pleasure in deceiving others if you believe in human resource and you didn't get up this morning and say, man, I hope I'm manipulated. I hope they do it so well that I never even catch up on it. Because human resource you manipulate. And if you accept yourself as human resource, somebody, you have to embrace somebody seducing you with lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, deceiving you, saying, oh, you won't die. Oh, this won't get outside the room. Well, let me tell you something. You just sold your soul to the beast. You just sold your soul to the facilitator of change, because he has information on you that will destroy you if you happen to even step out and question the process from now on. And then manipulate you. Because now they own you. The system now owns your soul. They can buy and sell you as it pleases. This is what happens to your legislators. This is what's happening to the teachers. This is what happens all around our society. To your spouse in the workplace. If they're going into the TQM, Total Quality Leadership, all these different agencies, you can put any label you want on. It's the same procedure, the same dialectic process of Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Because then, not only is Eve an environmentalist, a tree hugger, Adam is the first humanist. Because he looks at Eve and he says, Eve just outright, you know, God, I choose her over you. And he does the same thing. He's not a thinker, he's just a doer. You know, he just does it. And he's accountable because he heard from God. You know, and then look at both, they're socialists. Did you know Adam and Eve were Marxists? Yeah. Because, see, socialists, Marxists, never blame themselves. They're never personally accountable. They never say, oh, it's my fault, God. I have a wicked heart. I deceived myself. I fell in love with the world and myself, and will you forgive me? No, they don't recognize the Father's authority. They just blame somebody else. It's my parents. It's the environment. It's, look at Adam. Oh, it's not my fault. It's this woman's fault. That's socialism. That's the little Karl Marx right there. You think Marx is new? You think Freud is new? Well, that's all counseling. All of counseling is, oh, it's not your fault, it's the environment you're raised in. You hear the language, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, what I call Satan's Genesis Project, now coast to coast in America. No longer fearing God and loving His Word. I've yet to meet. I've been speaking for 17 years. I have ministers yell at me for 45 minutes, we have to dialogue. They're telling me, when they yell, we have to dialogue, you love your sin, because there is no righteousness in dialogue. There's no contrition, no repentance, no salvation, no eternal hope in dialogue. You love your sin. I've yet to meet any church growth, emergent church minister who loves the Word of God. Not a one of them. Or fears God. Not a one of them. Don't fear God. Adam and Eve didn't fear God. That's your fault. You gave me, you created this woman. It's your fault. That smiling lizard down there, he had something to do with that. That's our culture. That's our court systems. That's our legislators. That's the leadership of this nation. See, anytime you're in a diverse group, and that's diversity, by the way, is, are you traditional in thought, right and wrong? Are you transitional? Yeah, you just do whatever you feel like doing. With a guilty conscience, by the way. Because then you do it wrong, and of course you know it's wrong, and but you still do it. That's sort of Paul's, I do that, which I don't want to do. You're tossed to and fro. And then you're transformational. Transformational is justified. There's no conscience. It's called superego. Superego is you made the feelings equal with the facts, which means there is no conscience. It's just an opinion. That's just your opinion. You know, you open up the Word of God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In a Bible study, Rick Warren, you know, his light and purpose-driven life, and you're in a Bible study, and it says, as above, so below, which, by the way, is the most famous verse in Satan's Bible. You don't know that, see, but Rick Warren did. He put that in there, so all the Baptists and everybody else could sit in their Bible study, and you'd open up the Word of God and say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and for the sake of unity, let's just put yours aside, you know, and we'll put Rick Warren's as above, so below aside, and you just put the Word of God aside. This is what it's all about. For the sake of unity, for the sake of human relationship, for the sake of common unity, see, commonism, for the sake of globalism, you just put aside the Word of God for a verse from the Satanist Bible. Who would do that? Are we really this stupid? Folks, we are this stupid because in the 50s, we removed chastening from the education, the law of God from education, the Word of God from education, and prayer to God from education. And in the 50s, God said, you know what? You're a bastard nation. We became a bastard nation in the 50s. You sow the wind, you reap a whirlwind. And that's where we are. And so every classroom in this nation, this is Common Core. Common Core is this thing on steroids, folks. As Hitler had his Hitler's Youth, which was nationalism, National Socialism. Of course, the transformational Marxists said, well, that came from the traditional home of Germany. No, they killed the fathers. They killed it. Just any father who questioned Hitler was dead, and the kids told on him. It produced immorality at a level that German people had never experienced in Germany, and it was pretty bad in the 20s, folks. It was really depraved in the 20s, but there was a backlash against it of an effort of righteousness, and then of course Hitler comes along and he uses his brown shirts to squelch anybody. And socialism, whether it's national or global, has to kill the father's authority. That's what made this nation great, was we limited government so that we could have the family structure. By the way, government can't come in. Even if conservatives get control and say, oh, we want to restore the family, leave it alone. Even Abraham Maslow, who did this process, eventually had his own children. And then he goes, my children got me into conflict with my theory. I've been in continuous conflict ever since. Who should teach whom? Once you have your own children, you begin to think, I would never do to my children what I've been doing to everybody else's child. And so that's why you have all these college students, you know, and everything on TV is a broken, perverse family. Perversity. So you have the diverse group, the deviancy. You got to have somebody comes in the church. You know, a friend of mine just said, "Well, church service they use the church is going to be a state of refuge now." You know, the refuge cities of Israel. You know, a city of refuge. Well, wait a minute. That was a guy who committed murder, could go someplace so he wouldn't be killed himself until the trial. Wait a minute. That's not the fellowship of believers are the redeemed. That is abomination. That is blasphemy. And then the minister goes, if anybody would criticize any of these people who are coming in here, in other words, expose sin, he says, you will hear from me. You will hear from me. There better not be any division for the sake of unity in this fellowship. So you know what you just did? You just got rid of reproving, correcting, rebuking. That is an apostate church. That's a harlot church. Because, brother, when a brother sins, if you say you're in a room and somebody says something that's deviant and you start to address it and the person up front says, oh, now we don't want to hurt this other person's feeling because if we can keep them around, we can bring them around. No, you reprove them right there. That it's not the person, it's the sin. If you are silent to that unrighteousness, that level of righteousness, unrighteousness, that depravity becomes the norm. And it goes on and you can't stop it. Because why would you not respond to it? Because of feelings. If you make feelings your standard, nothing can stop you from the abyss. Do you understand that? If you start with your feelings, nothing can stop you from going into the abyss. That's why the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You can't trust your heart. And you can't trust the heart of any other man. Cursed is a man who trusts in man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He is established once and for all. You walk in the Spirit. You speak the truth. You do it in love. But not today in the church, no, because we have facilitators of change. Wolves in sheepskin. They are wolves. And I have friends that say, oh, we just want to go talk to him and maybe bring him around to reason. No, he's doing thesis interrogation. He's finding out where your strength is, your weakness is, because he's going to devour you. He's out to fleece the flock. Not feed them. He cannot feed the flock with the word of God. Satan didn't come in the garden to feed Adam and Eve with the word of God. He came to fleece them from the word of God. Every minister who stands and says, I'm a facilitator of change, is role-playing Satan incarnate from that pulpit. Period. The system itself. Now, there's a handbook, Human Relations in Curriculum Change. I have it on my website. You can go look for it in some of the issues and articles. And it's very technical. It's written, published 1950 by Kenneth Benet. It's a result of the first National Training Lab. There are now federally funded 10 of these training laboratories. Five states or regions under each, regionalized, you know, under each one. Bethel, Maine was the first one, and that was the workbook that came out of it. They identify different roles. And this is going on today, a little more technical, but the structure is the same. You have the group task roles. In other words, we want to get things going, but everything's social. And in these meetings, you have the facilitator, you have a recorder who's keeping track of what people are saying. Now, he doesn't necessarily tape it or write it down, because after you learn this, it doesn't take very long to figure out who's saying what. And then you have an observer. Observer watches body language, because your spoken words and your body language are different. And you can say one thing and means and show in your body you mean something totally different. And then a facilitator, recorder, and the observer get together and they analyze, okay, how should we structure, say, in the group classroom, the group grades? Which student should go where? And so you're doing Hilda Taba's and J.L. Moreno's psychodrama, social drama, these little charts. And so you have in these little subgroups now, you have a project you work on, a social issue, a diverse group. Oh, diverse traditional, some traditional. And it's not the race, it's not the economics. That might be part of it. They'll use that, the three E's. You know, ethnicity, economics, and environment, the three E's. That, by the way, if you want to tie community development block grants, they focus on the three E's, the Agenda 21, HUD, sustainable development, UN, all of those are on those three E's. And so they might not say, okay, we're from this one, but they're all there and they're all bringing to consensus. There's no representation in the consensus process. None. You as a citizen are never represented in the consensus process. It is absolutely an act of treason. But we have 30 million plus kids in classrooms learning that's how policy is to be made. You know, people say, I was in a meeting and there's 60 people in the room, and I said, they were saying, well, what are you going to do? How are we going to stop it? I said, we are lost. And they got mad at me. I said, okay, who's the oldest person in here? Who's the youngest? It was 55, the youngest. I said, where are the kids? Hitler was told, you'll never succeed. He said, I already have. I have your youth. And so they're in these little groups. There's the initiator who's just said ideas. He already knows how the process works, and he's going to throw input. And he's transformational or maybe transitional. Information seeker might be your child who's wanting to know how this works. Opinion seeker, information giver, opinion giver, evaluator, elaborator, coordinator, orienter, evaluator, critic, procedural technician. These are all technical roles that you can role play and learn, and they're broken down by the facilitator. He knows how to work it to get the project going. And then the group building and maintenance roles, there's the encourager, sort of the cheerleader, the harmonizer. Two people conflict, knows how to get them to, well, how did you feel? What do you think? And bring them together. Compromiser, he will role play to bring you into participation. The gatekeeper and expediter, standard setter, ego, ideal, or follower. And so you have all these different roles to pull you into participation. Now here are the individual roles. The aggressor, the blocker, recognition seeker, self-confessor, dominator, help seeker, special interest pleader. And you know, folks, when you break those down, those are individual roles. Those are all the attributes of God. And so now you look in the garden and you go, okay, the project, joint eating of the fruit. Oh, and then the group building, see, was relationship feelings. And so finally, we find the very same process in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, groupthink. How do you feel? What do you think, folks? See, it'll move you away from the truth. Because the Holy Spirit gives you understanding. There's a knowing. It's a knowing. My people are destroyed for lack of knowing. How do you know? God gave us His Word. As a parent gives the children the standards, now you know. You can't go out, now you know. Take the garbage out, now you know. There's the rules and commands. And dad and mom weren't perfect, so it's easy for us to be dissatisfied. And to get in a group and justify our dissatisfaction that, you know, we need to get rid of the system. No, dad and mom aren't perfect, but that system is. Marx understood it. It's understood. You know, the Frankfurt School, we don't have to come in America and tell them to get rid of God and become a nation of abomination that we are today. All we have to do is get the kids in the classroom and get the teachers trained with Bloom's taxonomies, open up Pandora's box. Get the effective domain, the heart out, let him share of safe zone. You won't die. That's what Satan, the big lie was, you won't die. We can share whatever we want to in this classroom. How many students in college were in this psychological classroom? Oh, you won't be held accountable. And they went out and took drugs and they're dead. They're dead. They're gone. They killed themselves. All the death that's come from the abomination that this nation has reaped upon itself is because we have rejected God as our foundation. We're no longer trusting in Him with all our heart, but we're leaning to our own understanding. And the whole thing was how to purge the universities of the patriarchal paradigm, of the traditional professors who are saying, do your homework. Do it right. Don't do it wrong. Because now the workplace is, how do you feel? What do you think? The police, how do you feel? What do you think? See, ministers, how do you feel? What do you think? No longer the righteousness of God's word. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's Jesus' response. That needs to be your response. The word of God says, it is written. It is written. It is written. Lean not to your own understanding, how you feel, what you think. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. It is written. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That you have to work on every day. because the truth will liberate you from promotion next term in office, respect with your relatives, good grades. It will cost you today in a dialectic world. Last issue I just wrote was on psychological. The Soviet Union, all they had to do was label you as psychological and you'd never get a job again. Now it's you're not a team player. You're not a Marxist. You're not a socialist. Because we've rejected God who made you an individual soul before Him. You will be held personally accountable before Him for your thoughts and actions. No group grade. Isn't that good that He cares enough about you as an individual that He sent His Son to die that you might have eternal life with Him, with the Father and the Son, a God of love and compassion and mercy. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and let Him be the one who directs your paths. It is not in you, just as in the child, it is not in the child to direct his steps. He needs a loving father to give him godly counsel.